Always good to have him. You know, well, he's a former New York State Assemblyman himself. Also a former county executive, gubernatorial candidate, as well as cost-effective governance. And always good to have him on. A little catch-up involved here with Mr. Steve Levy. Sir, welcome.
J-Dub.
It's been a while.
It has indeed, but always good to hear that Brooklyn voice, regardless of where you're calling from.
Shame on you. I'm from Queens. Born in the Bronx, my friend. Get it right.
Oh, okay. I was Queens myself. But
it's okay, but I have nothing against our friends from Brooklyn, I'll tell you that much. I know many.
Not that there's
I've been there many a time. No, there is not. No, there is not. So, you know, listen. We got a budget in place nearly 3 weeks late, Steve. You know, there are a couple of good things in there. Obviously, I love the education factors and, you know, a little combatants against retail theft and illegal cannabis shops, the pensions and everything else in play. But, you know, that one little caveat I was looking for, as I mentioned prior to you coming on with Assemblyman Chuck Levine, I didn't get it. I did not get it, and that was some sort of reform regarding criminal justice, especially after a police officer was murdered in Queens a month ago. I didn't get it. Disappointed I was on Saturday, but you know what? The beat goes on, and here we go. Give me a sense.
Yeah, well, the one big change that has to happen in Albany that the progressives, led by the speaker, Carl Hastie, have refused to do is to bring New York in line with all of the other 49 states, which basically, Jay, would give judges discretion to hold a violent individual based upon that person's propensity for violence or likelihood they may reoffend in a violent manner. Every judge in every state other than New York has that discretion. The idiots that run our state took that out of the equation back in 2019, and that's the one element we must get back in, and they refuse to do it. Now, you know, why are they refusing? We're led by Carl Hastie. I served with Carl for a short time in Albany when I was a Democrat in the Democratic caucus. He was a Stony Brook alum, as I was. We were both coming in around the same time, around 2000, 2002. You know, we didn't expect him to become the leader. He wasn't that kind of a leader within the caucus. But the stupidity of what he enunciated a couple of weeks ago when asked why we shouldn't have these tougher penalties for the really violent people out there, he said, well, I really don't think that penalties work. And it's like, well, you know, what's the point? You're dealing with it after the problem already occurred. Well, that's the whole purpose of deterrent. You know, deterrence. Giuliani came in, cleared the streets of the repeat offenders, the violent offenders, and crime went down dramatically. De Blasio and the progressives come in and say, oh, we're going to use programs instead of this. We're going to handcuff the judges. And what do you get? You get this crazy random crime that's occurring on a daily basis, and they've done nothing to address it.
Listen, I agree with you. I agree with you. I brought it up to Charles Levine. And, you know, listen, we got to do a better job. I mean, that's all there is to it. When you have the, you know, one of three powerful seats as what he possesses, and you are not occupying it in the right way. How? Well, by doing, as you said, 49 states feel the opposite of what Carl Hastie thinks. And this is why people are fed up, Steve. People are leaving the state. Many taxes. You know, you look at this budget, $237 billion. My goodness. $2.4 billion are going to this migration crisis and everything else happening within our big city. It's an absolute mess here. There's some good things on it. You know, there was that thought process regarding education and everything else with foundation aid and messing around with the formula. I'll tell you, you've had a lot of layoffs. You know, a lot of cuts, Steve, over the last couple of weeks. Give me a sense of that.
Well, let's start with the size of the budget. You know, we could all say, oh, there's some good and bad in this budget. But as typical with the New York State budget, it's called the big ugly for a reason. They dump all this extraneous nonsense that boosts spending dramatically in the last few days while no one's looking. And we're now at a remarkable level of $237 billion, Jay. Do realize that that is a one-third increase in the size of this budget since 2019, a $60 billion increase. And our Center for Cost-Effective Government, which is like a taxpayer watchdog, we were warning, Jay, back when all this COVID money was coming in, flowing in from the federal government, almost unconditional money, use it any way you want, basically. We warned, if you guys take this money and start spending it willy-nilly, you're going to make it part of the base, and it will become the new normal. And that's exactly what has happened. So this mass infusion of money came in. They spent dramatically more. You had, you know, that, you know, a one-third increase. It would normally take you, you know, decades to increase your budget by the scope of a third. And then it would take you decades more to do that again. In the span of just 5 years, they've increased this budget by $60 billion. And Jay, you want to have an idea of how big that is? Florida, which now is 3 million people more than New York and has better schools, really better roads, no state income tax, their budget's about $116 billion. Ours is twice theirs, and they don't even have a state income tax. We're doing something wrong in this crazy state, Jay, which is why our Center for Cost-Effective Government came out a couple of years ago and said, we need a spending cap in New York State. You know, years ago, the state officials bragged with their press releases, look, we cap local taxes. Yeah, there's a cap, and it has helped. It's not 2%. It's far more than that when you add in all the exemptions. But they exempted themselves. They don't have a cap on their taxes. They don't have a cap on their spending. If we had a cap in place on a state level, you would not have had this tremendous explosion in spending that you had since 2019.
No, listen, you're right. $237 billion, that's 35% increase from the state's last pre-COVID budget. I think it was 175, Steve, back in 2019. I mean, that kind of says it all. It really does. I mean, we are completely out of control. You're right. Florida does it right. I mean, let's face it. And a perfect example of that is how they handle the nuances of squatters as compared to New York. You have a governor who, you know, puts the clamps on things saying, you know what? Felony, sorry, you're done. Whereas New York, you know, we continue to invite, we continue not to be strong at all regarding a criminal sense. And that's all you need to know as far as how governments are run in Florida, yeah, as compared to New York.
And look at what happened when protesters, right, the Palestinian, really pro-Hamas protesters, tried to shut down things in New York, San Francisco, and Florida. In San Francisco and New York, the word got out, let them do what they're going to do. Don't, you know, let them close down the bridges. Let them close down the subways. No big deal. It'll be a slap on the wrist. You know what happened when they did it in Florida? Those guys went in there. They hold their asses to jail, and they're going to get some real penalties, and they're not going to do it again because you've got leadership there that just applies common sense and is not beholden to these crazy Marxists who are now controlling the Democratic Party in New York State. You know, you got a lot of really sound, rational, moderate officials who, you know, on Democratic side in Albany still today, not as many as they used to be, but they're still there, but they're scared to speak up against the crazies, against the squad type of folks out there, against the real radicals who now have become the tail wagging the dog. And that's why they won't buck hasty on the bail reform. They won't demand that the squatter laws get changed. They still allow these crazy leftists to close down our roads and our bridges. They just don't have the backbone to stand up to the Marxists who are slowly but surely starting to gain control of government in New York State.
Yeah, no doubt. Steve Levy with us talking about what's going on as far as Albany is concerned and the state budget, which was passed on Saturday, $237 billion budget. 19 days late, but in play here. Steve, what about the aspect of retail theft? They came upon it. Okay, I'm not thrilled. Still not thrilled. You know, the shoplifting and everything else that has been going on. It's been rampant here. I mean, businesses are being ruined here.
Yeah.
And this we have not been forceful enough as far as how we're handling. This is an aspect of the criminal activity going on right now within our state here. And this is really where you need to have the hammer in play here. You don't have it.
Here's another example of just common sense in Florida and the crazy far leftist policies here in New York. There's actually a mindset amongst the criminal element, the gangs and the, you know, underground circuit. They actually have a policy within their own criminal enterprises that they come to New York and steal and then bring the stuff down to Florida and try to sell it or whatever. And the reason they steal it here is because they know they will be let out when they steal it. Where in Florida, if they steal it, they're going to jail. Now, the problem with the shoplifting is, you know, Alvin Bragg came in, and like many of the George Soros-funded progressive DAs around the state, he said, we're just going to stop, enforcing what he considered to be these petty thefts, these lower-level crimes. Now, Giuliani cured the crime problem in the city with the broken windows concept. You get the people at the lower end when they're jumping the turnstiles, when they're selling small amounts of whatever out on the street, because when you nab them on the small stuff, you get them off the street so they can't do the bigger things. You take the guns out of their hands, for instance, okay? But the problem with shoplifting here is that they had like this cap. As long as it was under like $1,000 or so, it would be considered like a violation and you go out. Well, they would do it over and over and over again. So some of these guys would have recidivism rates of 60 times that they'd be arrested from the same CVS. What they did do, which was a good thing in this last budget, and I give them credit for this, they finally adopted the bill we've been saying you got to do for the longest time, is you got to make it cumulative. So if you drop $500 on this day, okay, and then $1,000 the next, you now have a cumulative amount of $1,500, and we can hit you perhaps with a higher penalty, a felony, and keep you in jail. So that part is going to help. The part that's a total joke, Jay, is, oh, we're going to give tax credits for a CVS or a Target or these little stores to hire more security guards. The problem is not a lack of security guards. These security guards are, you know, $15 an hour rent-a-cops. They don't have the wherewithal to stop these shoplifters, and the shoplifters know it. The shoplifters laugh at them. They knock them out of the way. And we've all seen the videos, Jay. What happens when these well-intentioned security guards try to stop the thieves? What happens to them? They get arrested. They get sued. They get fired. I could show you scores of videos showing you how the well-intentioned security guard gets thrown under the bus by their own employers. Oh, that they're not supposed to do that. We don't want the friction. Then what is hiring more of them going to do? The only solution is when you catch these guys, you've got to stop the bail and stop putting them back out again. Like a slap on the wrist, just like all the guys who are jumping over the turnstiles and not paying. Giuliani had it right. De Blasio had it wrong, and that's the difference in New York City today.
Yep, no question. There's no question about it. Without question, and you could say this. Even Dinkins got it right, for crying out loud, for a short period of time. Bloomberg, Giuliani, right. Listen, you go left and right here. As far as, who put the clamps down. Right now, when you have Alvin Bragg prosecuting, and you've got what's happening in Albany, I mean, that's a pass. That's a pass.
Well,
so, listen, people know they can get away with this stuff, and that's why they keep doing it. And that's part of the issue here.
The problem, Jay, is a new Marxist mindset, and it's really being promoted by George Soros, who has this really far-left socialist, progressive, I think Marxist ideology. and it looks at every issue through the prism of the oppressor and the oppressed, the oppressor and the victim. And, you know, it's that white supremacist patriarchy that are the bad guys, the suppressors, and that goes for the court system and the government. And then, you know, if you're not in that category, everyone else is a victim. And they see the criminal justice system, especially when it comes to violent people, as being a racist system. And whenever you look at it that way, their answer has been, well, the way you solve that is stop arresting people. Stop putting violent people in jail because that's racist. And it just perpetuates this racist system. But that's actually the mindset they have. And that was behind the defund the police system. Well, how did that work out? Not too well, you know. So unless we get rid of these people with these Marxist ideologies, we're just going to see more of the same, unfortunately.
No question, Steve Levy, with us all regarding the budget passed on Saturday. The Tier 6, I was keeping an eye on this, didn't get a lot of play with all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, as far as people being vocal about and whatnot here, but the governor, a lot of lawmakers kind of chipping away at some of these cost-saving reforms to how pensions, as Steve, are calculated. So under the new law, you have Tier 6. Employees' pension will be based on the top 3 years earnings instead of 5 years, and pretty much enacted during the last budget crisis with massive long-term savings here. So I was reading, according to the Citizens Budget Commission, her rollback will add roughly, I think, $4 billion or so to the state's pension liabilities with nearly $400 million next year alone. Give me a sense of that.
Yep. Well, you know, this is why New York is so unaffordable to live in. New York, California, Illinois, heavily, you know, liberal legislatures that have given the store away on these public pensions. And our Center for Cost-Effective Government has been really a watchdog in this, along with the Empire Center, the Manhattan Institute, trying to sound the alarm that you can't keep going in this direction or you're going to fall off a cliff. In fact, when I had my short-lived run for governor in 2010, Jay, one of my platforms was to change the tiers and to get overtime out of calculating a pension or make the pension calculation a little more reasonable. What happens now is in those last few years, they will, let's say it's a police officer with a $200,000 base salary. They'll crank in $100,000 in overtime to now bring their last year's salary up to $300,000. Now, your pension's going to be 50 or 60% of that final amount. So you've got people retiring now on the state dime at $150,000 for a pension. $160,000, not for their salary, their pension that they will get for the rest of their lives. My center did a study a couple of years ago. We found out if you just remove calculating overtime into that final tally, we would save $50 to $80 billion with a B over the next two decades. That's how much money we would save. Well, back in 2012, they finally kicked in a new plan that said, as to the new people hired, they will have less overtime calculated in. They'll have to contribute more. And everybody said, thank God, we're still going to get clonked over the next two decades, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. So what did the legislators do? These guys who were beholden to the unions, when no one was looking, this year they snuck in this provision to make the pensions even more lucrative and took away a lot of those reforms. And by the way, Jay, it wasn't only the liberal Democrats who did it. It was Republicans as well who gave a wink and a nod to the unions who were funding their campaign re-election. It was really a travesty. And I hope the public rises up and says, enough of this. We're tired of it. We're leaving the state. You got to do something to keep us here. You got to control these taxes. And doing this makes it even worse.
Well,
shame on them.
Steve, here's the problem. They're not controlling anything. Hochul's doing a terrible job. The migrant crisis, 180,000 migrants since, August 2022, $12 billion price tag. $2.4 billion set aside. Each one is claiming victory. Hochul says, hey, I've helped New York City. Big win, says Eric Adams here. I mean, it's just an absolute circus. It's no wonder why people have been leaving here. As you mentioned in the beginning of the conversation, people are heading to Florida. Look at the budget comparisons and everything else as far as what Florida deals with more people now. By the way, people that they've gotten from New York and how Albany is going about their numbers. I mean, it's an absolute joke. And I think people are realizing what's happening right now. I think November is going to be a tell-all as far as replacement. It's the only salvaging possibility you could have here is that you have a change come November the 5th. We'll see, though.
I'm hoping. You know, I was watching this political talk show on CNN. You know, you got to watch all the channels to get a different flavor of it. Chris Wallace show. And there's this one very liberal pundit who's on the show who was saying, you know, it's terrible. All these people are leaving New York and they're going to South Carolina to be with people of their own kind, you know. And she's saying it's so racist and it's so intolerant of not being want to stay with people who aren't like you. And I'm thinking to myself, how much of an idiot are you? This has nothing to do with race. It has to do with people, normal people, wanting to get away from crazy people like you who run this state, who think it's okay for some crazy man to sucker punch a woman in the face and get away with it. Nothing happens to them. Or throw a person onto a subway platform and nothing happens to them, you know, or to squat into someone's house. And nothing happens to them. You know, normal people are just saying, we're done. There's no hope anymore in some of these blue states. They get some kind of a balance. At least years ago, you had a Republican Senate, which would temper the crazies from getting all of these bills through. You know, it's a state that doesn't allow the judges to look at the criminal propensity of the perpetrator. We want to get away from these nuts. So it's no wonder why people want to go to a place like South Carolina where there's no state income tax. There's no crazy homeless encampments. You know, there's not random people randomly slugging women in the face as they're walking down the street strolling with their baby. You know, you want to get away from the crazies. So, you know, there's just this mindset amongst the crazy far left that, you know, this is a new normal and we should all have to accept it. And we're not going to accept it. And we're going to either try to change it from within the states in which we live, or you're going to see more people leaving. We're getting out of here. We're going to go to like-minded people who aren't crazy.
Steve, if it doesn't happen November the 5th, then the floodgates, you know, I mean, that's when people have had enough of this, really. They've had enough of guys like Carl Hasty, had enough of individuals like Andrea Stewart Cousins. They're the ones who run Albany right now. They do. They run Albany. I mean, let's face it. Kathy Hochul works for them. Kathy Hochul works for them.
She's tried to paint herself as this upstate moderate. I cringe when I see reporters, you know, qualifying her as a moderate, okay? That might be her instinct, but, you know, just like Joe Biden, who said, I'm going to run as a moderate, they don't have the backbone to stand up to the far-left progressives who, as you said, they're running the state. Who's running the national government right now? It's Bernie Sanders and the squad. They've won. If you look at all the policies that so-called moderate Joe Biden is proposing coming out of Washington, it's all far left stuff that AOC and Bernie are endorsing. And here in New York State, it's not like Kathy Hochul has the wherewithal to stand up to these guys. All of their crazy policies are the policies that are winning. Now, I will give her credit for two things. She did push back and stop two really awful things that would have happened. One is good faith eviction that the progressives wanted to get in. And that would have made it impossible for a small landlord to get out a real trouble tenant. A tenant would have been able to stay in your house forever as long as they paid their rent. They can flip you to bird. They can be horrible people. You can't get rid of them for the rest of your life. Thankfully, that's been stifled for one more year. Eventually, they're going to pass it. And the other one was the big billionaire tax that they want, the millionaire, billionaire tax that they want to put in. And it sounds great. Oh, let's just tax the millionaires. Who cares? Well, I have no love for these millionaires, billionaires. But I'll tell you what, the top 1% in New York contributes 45% of all the revenue that comes in. So what are these guys saying? They're saying, yeah, I don't have to stay here. I'm out of here. I'm going to Florida. I'm going to Carolina. I'm going to Tennessee. So we're losing those guys. And the middle class is having to make up that money, which is why she's imposing congestion pricing and all these other little fees and taxes to make up the difference. So at least they stopped that horrible tax, which would have had a real exit sign for all of our high earners. And she stopped good faith eviction. So I don't want to say it was all terrible. There were a couple of bright lights in there. But for the most part, Jay, it was another big ugly. And we have $237 billion, which is just an unsustainable budget, which is going to keep the exodus of people out of here in New York in record numbers.
People are not going to take it anymore. I'm telling you, they're not taking it anymore. They're tired of this nonsense. They're tired of Alvin Bragg doing what he's doing, prosecuting ex-presidents over nothing. Meanwhile, letting hardened criminals leave. You know, case in point of those two cops in Times Square who were beaten up. Before he knew it, yeah, two guys were in Arizona. By the time he said, you know what, we're going to get after them. Okay? It's just out of hand. It's out of control
here.
People
ask what can be done, there's got to be a balance in your government. In the old days, you always had some crazy
one-party rule, you know, never works.
That's it. That's
you know that.
It. That's it, Jay. When we had that Republican Senate, it was and Long Island was the bulwark. You know, they were Long Island Republicans, so our interests were always protected. But they were a stopgap. You had the crazy bills coming out of the assembly, and at least they would slow them down and stop it. So, yeah, we were going off a cliff, but maybe it was at 60 miles an hour, okay? Now that you took them out of the equation, we're going at 120 miles an hour. And if people want to get some kind of sense of order, think about that when you're voting, you know, this November. Get a Republican Senate back. So there's not going to be a Republican control of the whole state legislature. But just get some kind of bipartisan government. It's not good if it's totally Republican. It's not good if it's totally Democrat. You got to have your checks and balances. And we haven't had that in New York, Jay, for a long time. They haven't had it in California. They haven't had it in Illinois. And that's why these states are going down the tubes.
Steve, you're right. I've said it all along that one-party rule is deadly. It's proven to be deadly, especially here in the state of New York. The only way to change it, folks, is at the ballot box. We wait and see. Steve Levy, ladies and gentlemen, Center for Cost-Effective Government, and, of course, a former assemblyman, former county executive and gubernatorial candidate. Always great having you on, and we'll look forward to the next time. No long gaps anymore.
Thank you, my friend. I'll be there.